He didn't want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they'd argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of the Lord.
Shall we pray? Father God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you are revealing to us through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is Disability Sunday, which is part of Disability Awareness Week, but I think that this passage is still relevant. We can think that we are better than others or inferior to others for all sorts of reasons. There is a quote, you might have heard it before. Welcome is getting inside a building. Diversity is having a seat at the table. Inclusion is having a voice. And belonging is having that voice heard. The first time I came to this church, I came with my daughter Keris, who most of you know has complex needs, and we sat quite near the back. And when it came to the piece, everybody, and it really did feel like everybody, came up to us and said the piece to me and to her. And I can't tell you how much that meant to me, because in previous churches, people had either avoided both of us altogether, probably for fear that they might get it wrong, or they just said the piece to me and quickly rushed off and totally ignored Keris. So I know that was a few years ago now, but that really meant something to me. Jesus sat down to teach his disciples. It was normal for a teacher or rabbi to sit down and teach with the others around them. And he asked them what they'd been discussing, but they fell silent because they were embarrassed. Jesus had been explaining about his suffering and what was to come, but they were arguing about which one was the greatest. The disciples were more concerned about comparing themselves to each other than viewing their lives in the light of Christ and his teaching. They could have been helping each other to understand what Jesus was teaching instead of worrying about who was the best out of them. Jesus explains that whoever wants to be first will be servant and last and servant to all. True greatness comes through service of others, says Wesel. Jesus becomes the servant of all. This was a complete reversal of the worldly values. The kind of service that Jesus is talking about is sacrificial. Jesus said the first must be last and servant of all. He held a small child and said, if you welcome this small child, then you welcome him, Jesus. And if you welcome Jesus, then you welcome God too. It is thought that children were cherished, but they were regarded as lower in society, where they were expected to listen, learn, and respect adults. They did not have the recognition or the rights that children have now, and this made them vulnerable. This teaching about welcoming children would have been a shock to the disciples. Also, those who were disabled were not regarded as equal members in that society either. I don't believe that Jesus was saying that only small children were welcome. He was saying that everyone, including small children, were welcome. Everyone, including the poor, the homeless, those with physical disabilities or limits, people who are neurodiverse or have learning disabilities, to name but a few. If we welcome them, we are welcoming Jesus, and then we are welcoming God too. How do we feel when people come to our service who are different to us? If someone walked in wearing their pajamas and slippers, would we be able to offer them non-judgmental love? What if they smelt? What if they smelt like they hadn't washed for a week? Or if they were homeless, would we be able to offer love? Being a Christian is not only about going to church on a Sunday morning, or when we feel like it, or when we haven't got anything better to do. It's part of our journey with Christ. Welcoming those who are not like us is welcoming Christ and ultimately God. Who is being excluded now? We say that we are all equal, but in truth, some are more equal than others. If the first will be last and the last will be first, do we understand what this means? Are we willing to do anything that God calls us to do? If we never have, would we be willing to wash up after the service? Or would we be willing to help with teas or coffees or spring clean the church? Do we welcome children, even when they're noisy? And do we welcome people who may smell or just aren't like us? What if God asked us to buy a homeless person a sandwich and a cup of tea, or simply just talk to them? Are we willing to be with those who are different from us? And do we see ourselves as servants for Christ, who are loved as much as those who are older, younger, or different from us? This means getting to know others, including those who are different from us and our friends. According to Willem, discipleship means welcoming and caring for those who are the least concerned to others. Following Jesus, being involved in church, and giving priority to those without power, prestige, or possessions, those who cannot repay us for what we do for them. Wessel says, true greatness entails caring about people, insignificant people like children. The person who really cares is revealing Christ to others. Jesus turns everything upside down. The Jews were expecting a Messiah, but they did not understand that he would only be there for a while, and then he would suffer, and then he would die and rise again. Today the world thinks that if they are doing well, because they employ other people to work for them. But Christ teaches that we are great if we serve others. If we have a heart of a child, we will have little difficulty in becoming a servant. And if we have the heart of a servant, we will have little difficulty in welcoming children and others as we see Christ in them. We are all children of God, all made in the likeness of God. Disability awareness, along with so many other issues, is about social justice. We need to learn to do what is right, to seek justice and to challenge oppression. Being a part of this church community, we can support each other when times are hard. And when we need reminding that Christ is there with his arms open wide for us, we're all children of God and we're all made in the image of God. I firmly believe that we are called to sacrificial giving. This means giving with our minds, our hearts, our time, and our money. If we are genuine about following Jesus, we will want to follow Jesus with our whole lives and not keep parts back. This means even when life is tough and things are out of our control, we trust Jesus. And we're going to watch a 5-minute film now.
Andrew's story.
In 2014, we really felt God calling us out to Brazil and to go and live there. So we, to cut a long story short, we sold everything and moved out there. And we set up a home there. Talitha, I've been asked to go to a church one Sunday to do a crusade. It was quite away from our house, so we had to set off quite early. And it was a very long straight road, and there was a traffic light control crossing on the road, which had turned red as we approached it. We stopped at this red light, and there was a lot of people crossing the road. They were going to a Catholic church, so there was children, women, and stuff going across the road. And the car that was following us, the driver had been out partying all night and was really drunk, and he'd fallen asleep at the wheel, so that he went into the back of our car at about 60 kilometres an hour. And my car seat collapsed, the back of it went down, and I just felt my back go. It was like extremely painful. My right hip stopped working, and then it started to affect my leg, my right leg. And I was taken straight into hospital, and they did spine me in it and had an 11-hour surgery, 11-hour operation on my back. The short story is that despite all the physio and all the other stuff that they did in a very, very professional and wonderful way, I'm actually in a wheelchair because I can't walk. When I came around from the operation, I think for the first time in my whole life, my Christian life, I was struggling to sense the presence of God. I really couldn't sense that he was there. And I was thinking all sorts of weird and wonderful thoughts. I was thinking, well, that's it, he's deserted me. That's it, he's given up on me. You know, now I'm on my own. And, you know, there was all those thoughts passing through my head. But then, I don't know, somehow God broke through the silence of that moment and reminded me of Christ on the cross. Christ on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that spoke to my heart so strongly that I've got a Saviour who has experienced not sensing the presence of his Father, which is what I felt at the time. And it kind of just pulled everything back in perspective. And I think because I've seen God do so many wonderful things, and I've had such an amazing journey with God, even though in that situation, which was extremely difficult, I wasn't going to let anything take away what I believed. I wasn't going to let anything destroy my faith. In Mark 4, there's the scripture of Jesus calming the storm. And I guess most of us, if not all of us, have heard, read that story, heard maybe sermons on that story. The storm came up and the disciples were afraid and they woke Jesus up, and wonderfully, Jesus calmed the wind and the waves and stuff like that. It must have been something to really, really behold. I mean, that must have been something amazing because, you know, they've gone from this terrible storm where the waves were coming over the side of the boat and the wind was blowing and stuff, and there's Jesus gets up, stop, be calm. And I was trying to imagine how that would have been for the disciples, that they've gone from this rough sea and the wind to absolute calm and stillness, you know, and that which frightened them, the storm, had been stopped. And they said to each other, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey?" So now they're awestruck about what Jesus did. And you know, I think for me, I'm kind of awestruck when I look back over what Jesus has done in other people's lives and mine. But you see, for all of us, there's a lesson to be learned here. From the very onset, the very outset of this story, that Jesus said, "Let us cross to the other side." And you see, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we invite him into our life, that's what he says to us: "Let us cross to the other side." We start on this amazing journey. We start on this journey across the sea, if you like, a journey of life with him, and our destiny is set. Sometimes storms blow up in our lives, and sometimes things aren't easy, but God is always with us. God is always within us, and God is not finished with any of us yet. You know, there's a purpose and a plan that he has for each one of us to be a blessing to other people. So I just want to encourage you with that. God bless you.
Find out how you can play a part in transforming lives at www.throughtheroof.org.
He was struggling to sense the presence of God. He felt that God had deserted him and left him on his own. God reminded him of Christ on the cross, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus was his saviour and had experienced the time on the cross when he could not feel the presence of God. When we invite Jesus into our lives, we start an amazing journey, and Jesus takes us to the other side, to people and places that we could never have imagined. Sometimes storms come from nowhere in our lives, but God is always with us. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us to be a blessing to others. Who can we welcome or encourage today? Give us a minute before I lead the prayers. Let us pray. Father God, we bring before you the needs of the world, our community, and ourselves. We live before you everywhere that is affected by conflict and war. We especially think of the Holy Land, of Ukraine and Haiti. We pray for love, for peace, and a willingness for governments and citizens to work together. We pray for those affected by climate change, where there are droughts, flooding, and starvation. We pray for Sudan and Ethiopia, affected both by conflict and climate change. We pray for food to get through to all who are starving across the world, and for medical aid and support. We pray for Christians who are persecuted, who are not free to worship you as we take for granted. We pray for our mission partners and think of the work of Open Doors. We pray for protection and resources as they help those in the most need. We pray for the work of Tear Fund as they support those in the poorest countries, aiming to challenge injustice and bring an end to extreme poverty. Lord God, we pray for our government at their conference this week. We pray for them to make decisions with honesty and integrity, and pray that you would guide and lead them according to your will. Gracious God, we pray for the work of this church. We thank you that the planning permission has gone through for the community building project. And we pray for everything else, Lord, to do with this project, that things will happen at the right time, Lord God. We pray for the Debt Advice Centre, for toddlers and sensory group, all the children and youth work, the place of welcome, and all those who come to a Thursday communion. We pray for the staff team and church members to have wisdom and discernment to seek where you are leading us. We pray for volunteers to support your work here where they are needed. Father God, we pray for our PCC meeting this week to discuss church finances. We pray that you will be in the midst, guiding the conversation and giving them your gift of wisdom so that they may make the right decisions and so that this church can give you glory. We pray for those in our church community who are unwell, and we pray for Jeff Green. We pray for those who've recently lost loved ones, and we lift before you the families of Gillian Martinez, Kenneth Shellcross, and Elaine Leach, whose funeral is tomorrow. We pray for comfort and for them to know that they are loved and cared for. and we pray for Disability Week. Loving God, as we gather during Disability Awareness Week, we invite your presence into our lives, just as Jesus invited the disciples to journey across to the other side. We acknowledge that, like them, we do not know what lies ahead, yet we trust in your guidance and companionship. We thank you, Lord, for understanding our human vulnerabilities and weaknesses. Just as Jesus experienced exhaustion, we find comfort in knowing that your comfort is made perfect in our weakness. Help us to embrace our own vulnerabilities and see your strength working through them. Jesus, you are in the boat with us throughout our journey. We call upon you, as the disciples did, to be our source of peace and strength in times of trial. Remind us not to rely just on our own strength, but to turn to you for help and guidance. In our journey with you, we know that we will encounter storms. Grant us the courage to witness to your presence at these times, so that our testimonies may inspire and support others facing their own challenges. Help us to see these experiences as opportunities to deepen our understanding of who you are. We look to you with our abilities and our limits, recognizing the unique stories we have to share of our journeying with you. May our testimonies during this week be a source of inspiration and a testament in your faithfulness through life's storms. Lord, transform our hearts and minds, filling us with wonder as we grow in our understanding of your love. Let this change guide us on our onward journey together as one body in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.